Azeroth with
Attitudes.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of
Azeroth with
Attitude. My name is Ava Dillon.
And my name is Art. Hi.
And this is our gay little podcast in the World of Warcraft space. And baby, it's midnight. And for those that don't know, midnight for us and the time of this recording, it came out about a week and a half since then. And we have been no-lifing the hell out of this game. Specifically, so we can cover it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been a week. I just checked. It's been a week and 2 days.
Wow.
Damn. Time is passing so fast, though.
Yeah. And it honestly feels like it's been around much longer than that, to be honest.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
No, it was insane.
So I want to... No. I just want to know, before we get into like the World of Warcraft Midnight of all, how you been, bitch?
Girl, addicted to World of Warcraft, as always, but in a whole new way. I, for the first time, did a marathon on stream. It was only 3 days, but it was 3 days of like 12 to 13 hour streams. And I like literally could have kept going every single time because I was so addicted to everything that was going on, the whole story. I was reading through everything and it was so good. I was really exhausted after, but I was almost like on Monday after it was over, I felt this like sadness, like genuine sadness that it was over. Because you know when you like go to a festival and you have a really good time and then the first day after the festival you kind of feel sad?
Yeah.
It was that feeling. And I was like, that's crazy that streaming can create something like that. And then after that it's just been really, really busy for me. Like I'm working on a few things right now. And then, yeah, it's just been a lot. But I love it. I wouldn't change it. I love it so much.
Yeah.
What about you?
I've not been no-lifing it to that extent. I tried to do some really long streams. But after about, like, I think the longest I hit was, like, 8 hours. I was really feeling it. Just because it's, like, so much dialogue and talking and reading.
Yeah, for sure.
It becomes a lot. But I've also been playing a lot of Resident Evil Requiem.
Cool.
I need to finish that game. And oh my God, it's getting me together. I cannot, I cannot begin to describe how scary this game is compared to other Resident Evil games. It's terrifying. It's so intense.
I really want to play it.
It's like,
but I'm like a chicken. I cannot, I'm scared of everything.
Oh, you will hate this game. There are literally sections of this game where you'll have like 2 bullets in the chamber. There are 5 zombies roaming around and you need to figure out a way. How the hell am I going to get to the other side of this room and not get like my booty cheeks clapped by these zombies?
Right.
And that's Resident Evil.
Okay, fierce. I mean, I see everyone's playing it right now. I do eventually want to play it too, but I've also never played a Resident Evil game. I've always just watched playthroughs because I'm too scared to play them by myself. But now that I'm streaming, I'm like, technically, it's not by yourself.
Exactly.
Because when I was sick, I played my first ever Silent Hill, and it was that like new one.
Is Silent Hill F or 2? There's like the remake of 2.
F. The one with with the D.Va from Japan.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, and it was incredible.
Yeah.
And it made me look into all the other Silent Hill games because the horror got really under my skin. Not because it was like scary and gross to look at, but it was just like, it's like mental illness stuff.
Yeah, it's some really messed up stuff.
That was intense, yeah. But anyway, love.
And then tonight, I'm going to go see Lady Gaga. And I am gagged.
Work?
I'm so excited.
That is so gaggy. That is so gaggy.
I'm so excited. Listen. Yeah. For those who don't know, I am such a little monster. It's disgusting and foul how hard I ride for my queen. Listen.
Oh, I love her so much.
If Gaga was in WoW, she would have won the Mother Olympics for me.
Like, oh, period.
And she could have been like a side character with one dialogue. I'd have been like, Gaga wins.
Yeah. Yeah. What would she be in World of Warcraft? I feel like she would be an evil character.
I think Gaga would be a warlock that... I would say probably a blood elf warlock is what she's giving, but a teeny tiny one because she's short. She's like a very short, petite blood elf warlock that also has an Italian accent.
Stefania Germanotta. How does it go?
Yes, it's like, yeah, Stephanie Germanotta. You said it a lot cooler.
Germanotta.
Germanotta. Germanotta.
Stefania Germanotta.
Wait, it's, you know what's giving? It's Balladash Malinore. Like the
My God. Great segue. Balladash Malinore. Mama, you didn't even care to ask them to not put a southern accent on it. These elves have lived for 1,000 years. Why does she sound like she's from a southern farm?
No, okay.
Balladash Malinore.
Yeah, she's like, Balladash Malinore. Why does it sound like Goofy?
Balladash Malinore. Wait, why is your mic not picking up your laugh? That's not.
It's because it was too high pitched and gay. My mic was okay. Like, absolutely.
Damn,
not.
I didn't know you could reach new heights. You're really gaying it up even more.
Mama, I'm full of surprises. Like Miss Southerner Balladash Malinore.
that actually gagged me.
Okay, so Everest Songwood. So for those who don't know, there are like 4 or 5 zones. I would say 4. No. Yeah.
Well, 4 if you think of Silvermoon as its own zone, which I think is valid.
I think that's valid. I think that's valid. Yeah. So there's 4 zones. There's 5 storyline arcs
yes.
in this new expansion. And I think what we're going to try and do is cover each zone as its own podcast episode. So today, maybe we could just do a little bit of Silvermoon and Eversong Woods. They're kind of interconnected.
Yes, I think that's perfect.
Yeah. And then next week's episode, we can cover, I think, Harandar would make sense.
We could probably cover both. We could probably cover Zulaman and Harandar because, honestly, Voidstorm...
Yeah. Girl, crickets. No, Voidstorm will be us just like... I haven't reached Voidstorm yet, but the things I have heard... Voidstorm, I think, should be its own episode of us just maybe talking about things we didn't like from Midnight.
No, it wasn't that bad. It wasn't bad. It's not... Compared to the others, it's just not the same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
you're going to get a lot of Midnight content from us.
Yes. Do you want to tell me about your very first impression of Silvermoon?
Okay. I'm painting you the picture.
Okay.
Let me move my wig real quick. Okay. So, I, being my Conti undead frost mage, I hop on smelly, stinky, fierce. I forgot the quest line, but yeah, you basically like are riding into Silvergoon, and just because you start from the Sunwell and then you move down. Because first off, that entire intro quest line, hands down, the best intro quest line we have ever gotten from any expansion.
Period. Period.
Not even close. Like,
period.
And I'll get more into that, but first I'm gonna talk about Silvermoon.
Yeah.
So when you're first getting into Silvergoon, I played a little bit of TBC before playing Midnight. I also visited Silvermoon on retail. Like I went to just go look at it. You could literally put them side by side, and I would be like, these are not the same place. The amount of refinement and just remodeling that incredible. Has been done is so insane. It actually feels like a civilization. It actually feels yes. like a city that is worthy of defending. I believe that there's thousands of elves that live in this city, as opposed to the other Silvermoon, where I wouldn't have believed that.
Like 20 maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was gorgeous.
Yeah, it really, really is. That, and I was so excited. I woke up really early to start streaming and playing, and I genuinely felt like a child before Christmas when they're about to open their gifts. Like it was so big for me, and I was already emotional going into it because I'm just, first of all, I'm dramatic, okay, and I love World of Warcraft.
No way.
And then so we do that intro quest time and I'm already like gag. Like, oh my god, look at the aesthetic. But it was like all covered in void. Who cares? Love. And constantly being like, you know, like, oh my god. And that cinematic, which a lot of people unfortunately skipped, and I did too, which is Aerator cinematic, which is the high res Aerator cinematic where he fights Zolotov and she gets under his skin.
Oh, I didn't skip it.
You didn't skip it?
No.
You've seen it.
I've seen it. Yeah.
Okay, good. Because it's so easy to skip because it doesn't play automatically like other cinematics. And then him like exploding in that light. I'm like, okay, Aerator just earned aura points because I came into this expansion thinking I'm not going to gaff about him. But he already was like, okay, fierce. And then when we got into Silvermoon, I remember specifically the Sunwell making my ears bleed because it was incredibly loud. Like, I've seen many memes of people being, like, ear protection. Like, memes, because, like, the sun, well, you get a little bit closer, like... Zzz.
Yeah, I'd be like,
Literally, it's so loud. But then I remember specifically, like, somebody in my chat was like, turn around now. And I literally turned around, and it was, like, that view of Silvermoon. And now it's so dramatic. But genuinely, instantly, like, tears in my eyes. Instantly. This game means so much to me, and I've looked forward to this for so long, and we always like dreamed about Silvermoon, like what it would look like right now, and then all of a sudden we actually get to do it. And I instantly, what I did is I changed my mounts to a ground mount only.
Yes, same.
Because I was like, I want to walk into this with like as like an adventurer and not as like this like overpowered mount dragon flying boom, you know. And like I walked up to it, the music started changing, it started to get like more intense, and then you get there and there's these like blood elves waiting for you, clapping, like happy that you saved them. Like literally tears. And then I instantly start exploring and I'm just like, oh, like it's so good, the music, everything. And we walk to one of the shrines, and it was a shrine. That's the first thing that we ended up, that was not planned. I end up at the shrine that is about the Scourge invasion and everything that they lost. Yep. And I'm already like, tearing up again because I'm like, oh my god, I was looking for a shrine somewhere of what happened to them. And then you click on it and it says stay a while and listen, and I'm like, wait, nothing's happening. I turn around, Liadrin walks up. Already I'm like, oh my god, she's about to give a speech. And she gave the most heart-wrenching speech, basically talking to her father,
yeah,
and being like, I've made it, stuff like that. Genuinely cried on stream. It was so incredibly emotional and so beautifully done. Such an homage to like the story, and they've really nailed every single vibe. And my favorite part of the Silvermoon is Old Silvermoon, which is the red part that only Horde can enter.
Yeah,
because that part you can even bind your Hearthstone there if you're Horde. I only bind it there because it has the old Silvermoon music. And still has that like old aesthetic. I think it's really good that Silvermoon is leveled up. It should. Yeah. But I like that they kept that one part really specific. And yeah, just all the different vibes in there. There's like this pet cafe. There's a school. And you can see like all the students are like studying magic. Thalissra waiting in like the room where her and Lorthamar reside, I guess. Like all of these like small little details. And someone also pointed out that every NPC is walking to some, not to like an empty place. Every NPC has like a task that they're doing. Like they're walking to, you know, when like those old, there's like other games that like Skyrim, where like every NPC was actually doing something.
Yeah.
That's what it did. And I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe that this is finally also in World of Warcraft. And then the way the guards react to you, it just feels so alive.
It does.
I'm still obsessed with it. I, until like now, a week in, I still fly and I'm like, I can't believe we're at Silvermoon.
Well, I also so love good. That the NPCs react to you depending on your race and class sometimes. Yeah. And
they're really rude.
And they avoid you. They don't walk through you. Like you actively like take up space in Silvermoon, which is awesome to see. Mm-hmm. I love that. I also really like that there's like so much environmental storytelling in each of the zones. Like I think my only downside is I really wish that what's it called? The Row?
Murder Row?
Murder Row. I wish Murder Row was seedier. It's a little too well lit for me to be like but the NPCs themselves give off such a Murder Row vibe, and like you just can't trust anyone there, and they're definitely doing some shady dealings. I don't know if you've done some of the side quests that are in Silvermoon.
No, not yet.
Girl, there are some amazing ones. There's a phenomenal one That has to do with people getting kidnapped from Murder Row for illegal fell experiments. And it is great. It's like such a good, because it's like a murder mystery of sorts. You're like trying to uncover who is kidnapping these like down on their like last legs blood elves who are like broke, like just, you know, scrapping by in Murder Row. Someone's like kidnapping them and they're disappearing.
Oh my God.
And doing, and
I'm
then
excited
you,
for this.
And then you find out someone's doing illegal experiments on these like kidnapped victims. And it's like crazy. You learn about like, you learn what I love about like the side quests in Silver Moon. Because like, obviously like the fell is a huge part of the Blood Elf history. And you learn about how, like, obviously, like, through laws, they've been regulating how warlocks can practice fell within Silver Moon.
Yeah.
But there are factions within Silver Moon itself that disagree with much the law is locking down fell practice. And you start to uncover through these side quests these factions that are not understanding the power that they're playing with. And it's a lot of like a lot of the younger blood elves who aren't learning from the past that are just kind of like, I can wield the fell, that's no big deal. And then you learn very quickly that they've learned their lesson the hard way.
it's so good. And but I love that they just like that the city felt like it actually evolved from the past and not just like, oh, we just time skip and now Silver Moon is like this. You can tell that it evolved. Did you know that the Kael'tha statue was thrown into the ocean?
I saw that.
You can go there and find it.
That's so
love sick. These little details are so important. I love that they thought about it. And when you as a warlock, I'm a blood elf warlock, mind you, and I'm walking through Silver Moon, my home, okay? And the guards are like, get your demons in check. Or like the second your demons are out of control, it's your, like they're really, really rude to me. And I'm like, I was getting so many times I was getting so upset during the lore because like the all lore the quest because like all these light people being so like extremist with the light
that
I have popped off multiple times on Turalyon, but also that have you gotten to that scene where they like they want to arrest Umbrick,
girl,
and they want to execute him.
I just did this an hour before this recording.
I was screaming. I was especially screaming at every single one of them. The only one that didn't, obviously, was Anduin. But Romath siding with them and being like, I like personally, I just can't. Like, I can't. I'm like, this is first of all, this is not about you and your personal betrayal. Also, you were literally sucking demon
cock
for And now all of a sudden, oh, the void, which is might be the only reason to save us. Like all of a sudden it's like, no. Romath needs to shut up. Like, girl. Seriously. First I was a Romath stan and I'm not anymore. He needs to shut up. And like, he's so like xenophobic and like horrible.
Yeah.
And like, elitist. And I don't know, just, I was really getting pissed off. And all at the guards, like, why are you against the fell? Like, you know, like, it's like, what are you talking about?
I don't get it either. That whole scene pissed me off for various different reasons. First of all, I think it's insane that both the Vanguard of Light, Anduin, and Romath aren't listening to Lorthamar. He is the fucking leader of this city. It doesn't matter whether he's exiled or not. You are in his city. You cannot arrest him in the city. Yeah. And so when
Does clock them. He does clock them a lot, which I love.
And so
like when he was like,
No. And so when Lorthamar is like, I want him to be free, and they're all like questioning his judgment, I was like, no, bitch, you are in his city. And then
the way I would slap them.
Oh, I wanted to slap him so bad. So the Vanguard of Light are already on my shit list because they're the worst offenders. They're constantly like, the light is, we own the Sunwell. I'm like, bitch, you don't own shit. You don't own the Sunwell.
When Lorthamar was like, the Sunwell was loyal long before humans arrived. And I'm like, whoa, clock them.
Because like, girl,
like, shut up. Why do they act like they claim something? Also, I love how it's like, we were summoned by the Sunwell. So we blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, so we're shadow priests.
Yeah. Like literally shadow priests, literally
so was
warlocks.
I, a warlock. I actually kind of wish that they would have maybe, like, if you're specifically, if you're a Void Elf, I would have wished that maybe you would have had a different intro. That would have been gaggy.
That would have been really gaggy.
But I guess, yeah. Because, like, when Allegra touched the Sunwell, she turned it into the Void for a bit. And then all of a sudden, Void Elves are, like, walking out of the Sunwell, like, hey!
Puss like, first. I don't know, but, like, yeah.
Yeah.
I just real quick about the Umbrick thing. I think also what pissed me off a little bit, mm-hmm. and not to dog too much on Anduin, is Anduin, I love that Anduin comes to Umbrick's defense. Mm-hmm. But the way he comes to Umbrick's defense is this, like, well, I think I have some authority here. We have, like, I will stand in, you know, I will, you know, fall on the sword for Umbrick. And I wanted to be like, Anduin, first off, you're the leader of the Alliance. This is not Alliance City. Second of all, the Vanguard of Light is kind of like agnostic. It's not an Alliance or a Horde faction. It's kind of like agnostic. Third of all, I don't know why he thinks he has any authority in this situation. I'm glad he's swinging his sword in his dick to like help Umbrick. But the way he comes across is very like, well, I'm the king of the Alliance, so you should listen to me. And I just wanted to be like, why are we just not listening to Lord Thamar? This is his city. And he's the leader of the city.
Well, it makes sense. To me, it does make sense because Umbrick is Alliance. So
oh, no. Defending... That made sense in that regard. Like, he's standing up for Umbrick as a leader.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But
it's like part of his army, I guess, or like his leadership.
Yeah. But what pissed me off is that the Vanguard of Light listens to Anduin, but doesn't listen to Lord Thamar. And I'm like, girl.
I think it's, I think it's like a Nepo baby thing because he's like, you know, the son of this other really famous paladin. But yeah, no, absolutely. Like Lord Thamar was really putting them into their place. But when they were not listening, I was like, you need to kick these out. You need to kick them out.
Yeah.
But some people did have the theory. So I love this. This caused an entire discussion about community, you know, and this is good. This is good. People care about the lore. People are talking about it. People are siding with the light. People are siding with the void. People are thinking that both of it is. I personally feel like they're both energies and they're not good, not bad. It's depending on how you use them.
Yeah.
And you explore this a lot in the Void Storm. You'll get there.
Okay.
And I think it makes it even more interesting. But people did say that. So like, you know how like Liadrin even had that vibe when Arathor was like, but they're not going to be able to keep up with this. And she's like, trust in the light. Like it was dismissing him immediately. And I was like, oh, is she also becoming a zealot? Like what's happening? Because it already kind of was teased with Alonso. What was his name? The undead guy.
Oh, Alonso Spowell.
Alonsus, when he was like telling her about how the Scarlet Crusade paladins are bad in the cinematic, right? And she's like kind of getting like her head about it. And I'm like, are they leading up to her becoming like a zealot and like a... But I actually think it's not going to be her. She's becoming actually better. I think it's going to be... Also, she's all up in Zul'Jaris.
I need to see it. Sorry.
It's going to be Tyrallian, I think, and the Vanguard people. Well, one of them we already kind of... Yeah, anyway, I don't want to spoil.
No, you're fine. I like what they're doing here, though, with the... I think it's all coming together. Like, I don't want to... I know we're not going to talk about Harandar for a little bit. I've seen a little bit about people thinking that Harandar doesn't connect to the story, but I definitely think it does in a huge way.
It does.
And so we're seeing, like, all these things where it's, like, the light... and the void are like just these like energies that could have good and bad intentions. The light seems to prey more on like anger and wrath. Mm. And the void is more about like desperation and like the last thing that like you need someone. So the void is there to step in. Yeah. And what I think is really interesting is in the Rift of Aln in Harandar, and someone in my chat was telling me that is a place that we've been to in Legion, which is really interesting. And the manifestations that are walking around in the Rift of Aln are the same models as the Shah from Mists of Pandaria. Mm-hmm. And so it's like all this like interconnected thing where it's like all of this evil stuff that's happening in Azeroth is like a manifestation of like the nightmares and like anger and anxiety of Azeroth in... thing. And I really like that they're like, it's like watching 8 seasons of a show and all of the story threads are starting to come together in like a huge epic finale, which is really cool.
Yeah, It really, like, The War Within feels like a filler episode at this point.
Like, it does.
After finishing the campaign, I'm like, this was incredible. And people are discussing in my chat, and like, some people also have this theory that because of the Sunwell, because the Sunwell is being weird, it's affecting the nature, right? Mm-hmm. Like, their nature is turning aggressive. Why would it not affect the Paladins? Why wouldn't the Paladins get more aggressive? And so that also does make sense to me. So I don't think that they're all just purely evil. I think that the Sunwell is actually affecting them and making them angry.
Yeah.
And becoming like, but that one scene where, also, I'm in love with Erator, by the way. I'm obsessed with him. The voice of reason, like one of the only ones. But that quest line with like him, and then when he remakes the shield for his father and offers it to him, and Tyrallian walks up to him and is like, can you forgive me? That already broke me. Parents apologizing to their children breaks me every single time.
Yeah.
But then he goes, no, he doesn't. I don't want the shield. The way I wanted to take that shield and shove it so far up his ass until he splits him in half, I was ready for it. How can you be so horrible?
He's such a shit father. He's such a
literally
shit father.
He is he's on the lowest of the lowest bar for me. Like, I don't care about him at all. At first, I thought he was hot. Now I just think he's horrible.
Okay. First off, I love the storyline. To take it back to Eversong Woods, to lead into this Tyrallian bit. I loved what they did with Eversong Woods, and I need them to do this more in future expansions.
Please.
Where the first zone we go into sets up all the other arcing storylines that we're going to experience throughout the entire expansion. Yeah. I cannot tell you how amazing it was. It felt like I was playing through a single player game, but I was in an MMORPG where I was like,
exactly.
This storyline did this storyline did this storyline. And you're seeing like, oh, fuck. Shit is hitting the fan at Eversong Woods, and now it's breaking off into like Harandar with the Light Bloom, and the Zul'man, they're dealing with the Light Bloom in a different way, and they're actually using it as weapons to protect their own civilization. And so it was so fascinating. And I think, like, anyway, what I loved about it is it showcased the fall of Tyrallian in such a beautiful way, because this is a man who has only known war his entire life, and it's giving, not to harp on it too much, but like a military man having PTSD and doesn't know how to get out of war mode. And that's been his storyline for a while. Him and Illyria's relationship has been suffering. They're just not, like, Illyria comes in like the hot little skimpy top and like booty shorts, and Tyrallian's not looking at her anymore. And, you know, he's just looking at like the light and how it can
dump him.
Yeah. Dump him. Yeah. And she's just like, why don't you touch me anymore? Anyway.
Did you make this up?
Yeah, girl. You thought.
Oh, okay.
Diva, you thought this was real? You think that Blizzard was writing in the story that Tyrallia came in a skimpy top and booty shorts in their bedroom and was just like, why don't you touch me anymore?
I'm so tired of you. I'm so fucking tired of you. Do you understand that? Do you understand? You were reading the book. I wasn't reading the book, so I thought you were telling me about the fuck-ass book. You are so exhausting. I can't deal with you.
I can't. I'm so over it. You were sitting there. I saw it. You were like in your brain, like processing, like, what the fuck? What the fuck?
I was like, you know what? I was thinking like, yeah, dump him. Another proof that he's flop, you know?
Yeah. No, but to tie back to the book, they are having relationship issues.
Just not in a skimpy top.
Not in a skimpy top. And she didn't try to, you know, invite toys into the bedroom or anything like that. Anyway. So.
Right.
Yeah. She's just, you know, to never mind. Anyway. So she. So Tyrallian, you're seeing this fall from grace in the sense of he's constantly in war mode, and he. Not only did he get his son back and then not try to be a father, but he like treats his son like he's a fucking idiot. And okay, this is something I do.
And also commands him around.
Commands him around. I also don't like that we are treating Tyrallian like he's 12 years old. He is a 30, at this point, I think the chat was telling me, 37-year-old elf. In elf years...
So young?
Yeah.
Oh, you mean Erator.
Erator, I'm sorry, Erator. Erator is only like 37 years old. In elf years, he is a baby. But he is still a grown-ass, matured adult in this...
Is he going to live as long as elves?
We don't know. I don't think we have any lore confirmation of how long a half-elf lives. But he is, for all intents and purposes, an adult. He is more than an adult. He has 37 years of lived experience. Why are we still treating him like he is a teenager that doesn't know how to tie his own shoes? Like the way Tyrallian talks to him, I just want to slap him across the face. I'm like,
it makes me so angry. It brings out that like old school, like child anger out of me, where your parents were trying to tell you what to do and you're just like, no, like, why are you talking to me like this? You know, that's what makes the story so good. We care so much and it makes us aggravated. We get upset. I cried. I also cried happy tears. Like that's how good it is. How good it is.
So I need to know, what was for you the moment, I guess, besides obviously coming into Silvermoon for the first time, what is the moment you were like, fuck, I love World of Warcraft? Like when you were
Oh my God, that's a good question. There's so many things I liked. I think it was honestly when they were having that first discussion. So you just came to Silvermoon and you walk up to that like middle part where they all like always like hang out, and it's Umbrick and Romaf bickering, and then Tyrallian from the back being like blah 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 blah, and then like Lorthmar putting them all into their place and like telling them about the Sunwell and how much it means to them, and then Liadrin comes in and she's like, she's telling him like, I don't understand why the Sunwell's actually behaving like this. It almost felt violent, and the Sunwell doesn't do that. And I was like, I'm like, this is so good, you know? It's like all these theories, like different strands of story, like picking up in different directions, and it's like, and then like pick where you want to go, and then go to Eversong, and I'm just like, I can't believe that I'm playing almost like old school World of Warcraft again with a fresh paint.
Yeah,
that's like what it feels like. It felt genuinely like coming home. I know this expansion is all based about coming home because of housing.
Yeah,
but it also feels like you're coming home, going into Silvermoon, and like all of these lore characters again. And if you're someone that is into the lore, you are being fed. Like literally, so many little stay a while and listen. Everything's voice acted. Almost everything was voice acted, which is also surprising.
Yeah,
and then just flying, going for the not flying. I didn't fly at all throughout the whole campaign. Just if like absolutely necessary.
Yeah,
and the voice storm started flying because I couldn't care. But I remember like also going into Eversong Woods for the first time, and then that one part on the side where you would usually buy your Hawk Striders.
Yeah,
they kept it like that, and now they have like little babies and. I was just like, I cannot believe how much I love this game. That all of this is that I get to experience all of this again, but better, you know? And then statues of Sylvanas, and there's a diva like drawing it and like painting. And you go to the place where you log in for the first time as a Blood Elf, Sunstrider Isle.
Yeah.
Where you do like a bunch of quests and stuff. And the academy that used to be full of like, is now an actual academy, and there's people like training like different classes. There's Blood Knights training, there's Farstriders training, and then you do a world quest, which literally makes you do what you used to do when you first created Blood Elf. And I'm like, they fucking nailed this.
Yeah.
They nailed this so hard. Like, World of Warcraft has this bank of nostalgia that they could make bank off, and they started now, and it's working. It's fucking
working. I cannot wait to hear you talk about some of the side quests, because they are even more filled with nostalgia.
Oh,
and,
I can't wait.
And you, it's so, and it's in those side quests where you really see like a quest that was done in TBC. You're kind of seeing like, oh, this is what, like, because of what happened in that quest, kind of where the story has gone since then. The Academy is a good one where you start to learn more about the students at this academy and maybe the cliques that are forming within this academy. And it's just like really cool to see, like, you fixing and rescuing this academy in TBC Classic to now the academy is built up enough to where there is drama amongst the students. And it's like, that's so cool to like just see that evolution. I just can't get over how this expansion truly feels like it's for everyone. Like, it's for the casual gamer, the lore junkies. I haven't gotten to the prey system yet. I've heard the prey system is phenomenal.
It's amazing. Yeah. It's so fun.
Yeah, it sounds amazing. The delves are great. I tried like two of them on stream. I was like, love it. They're like the mechanics within them. The dungeons that I played so far are great. There's not a single, at least missing the lot from what I've played so far.
No, they're good. Especially the ones in Eversong Woods, Magister's Terrace. We get to be in Magister's Terrace again.
Yeah.
One of the core World of Warcraft dungeons for me. And we get to do it again, and it's new, it's fresh. And then also, obviously, Windrunner Spire.
I haven't done that one yet. I am excited too.
It's incredible. Do you mind if I tell you?
Yeah, tell me. Yeah.
So you know who Liraf is? Liraf is the brother, only brother of the Windrunner sisters, and he is this 100% gay elf that is a musician. He plays the harp.
Okay.
And he is like, you could tell he's like a softie, and he's like an emotional one of them, because Sylvanas and Illyria are like the war ones, like they were born to fight. And is her name Valyra?
Varisa
is more like the softer one. She like tends to the gardens and flowers and like her little alchemy, and he's like the music guy. And his parents are all, they were like, her mother was Ranger General, and the father was also like a commander of the Farstriders.
The father was Maga. Something. Yeah.
Yeah. And Liraf like guides you. You're so stupid.
Sorry. Yeah, it gets really weird. They get really political in this dungeon.
Right. Where was I?
And then you start talking about like, you know, a woman's right to vote, and you know, I'm right there with it, but I'm just like, Blizzard. Just kidding.
Right. And he guides you through the house and like tells you stories about each member of the family, and you collect little trinkets and stuff. And obviously, it's like all abandoned. In general, the Windrunner village, the way the vibe changes, it still has that sadness in there. There's no one living there anymore, but you can kind of imagine what it used to look like, because it has that like high elf aesthetic. It doesn't have the blood aesthetic.
Yeah.
And it's like, wow, this is what, like, you kind of imagine what it could have looked like back in the day. And he would tell you like stories, like we would have parties and we would eat food and blah, blah, blah. And then at the end, you find a shade, like a ghost.
Oh.
And it's her mother. It's the mother, basically. She's like the ghost that's haunting it, because she's so full of resentment of how everything happened, because Liraf was killed brutally. And it's like, wow, incredible. So good. And we get to do this dungeon over and over and over again in M Plus now. And it's like a dungeon that means so much to the lore. So full of like little lore bits and iconic characters. It's Midnight is just, it's shaping out to be my favorite expansion I've ever played.
Yeah, and that's kind of like my takeaway as well. I mean, I've gone through a majority of the campaign now. Sorry, my camera just keeps doing this.
I think you need to keep holding your hand there for it. You don't let it focus in time. There we go.
Okay.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. So you're like, so the thing that my takeaway from this expansion, from what I've played, is this is hands down my favorite expansion, period, that I've ever played. This like blows Legion out of the water. This is better than BFA, in my opinion.
I mean, the level up campaign, 100%, I agree with you.
Yeah, and I still don't know, like, obviously, in-game content, like, what that's going to look like. But the foundations are there, and it's set up so well. I also, now I haven't done Voidstorm yet. The one caveat is I do wish we felt more Xalatath. We really just didn't get any Xalatath. Now, that could change in Voidstorm. But she is just, like, missing.
It worries me most of the story.
Yeah, I know. It excites me and worries me in the sense of like, what is she planning?
Yes.
But on the flip side of that, I really like that this is the first time where an event has happened that really you are feeling the ramifications and like the world-ending plot is happening.
Yeah. You can actually, you're actually like scared.
Yeah.
Especially when you kept getting, like when the void kept hitting back and like you would get these like visions and the void would like, it would literally make you feel a bit dizzy when you're playing. Like,
yeah,
it really felt scary. And like the people around you, and there would be like these doomsayers telling like, oh my God, the world's ending, blah, blah, blah. It was definitely making you feel a little uneasy, which I love.
Yeah. But yeah.
Zolotov not saying a word, especially when we figure out that to stop it and she doesn't just, you know, do anything about it. It worries me because that means she has a plan and something even worse is coming. I don't know. That's what it feels like.
Yeah. She's definitely got like some nefarious stuff. And then like we're hearing like we know certain things because the devs have talked about The Last Titan. So we kind of know what's happening in The Last Titan. So I can kind of piece together.
Like,
yeah. So from my understanding, okay. Go with me.
All
now.
I know is we're going to Northrend.
Yes. So remember in Harandar, Alnhara, it's like their goddess that they constantly talk about.
Obviously. Sorry, keep going.
Yeah. So, I mean, it could be a loon. I don't know. But,
okay.
They said that the Alnhara is gone. Like it's not, they haven't been in the cradle like for a while. They have this like cradle up above in Harandar, this like cradle of vines. And they talk about how the goddess has been missing for a long time. The last Titan we've been told so far is that either Azeroth or Alnhara or someone's, like the body of a Titan, is in Northrend. So it's like, they're...
Are you lying to me again?
No, I'm not. Like,
okay.
Correct me if I'm wrong in the comments on YouTube.
Okay, so maybe I'm like, are you like trying making shit up again and then telling me I believe it that it's wrong?
No. I would be more obnoxious if it was, but... No, yeah. So we know that we're going to Northrend because there is a body of a Titan there. Whether or not that is, and there's theories going around online that Alnhara is either Azeroth, and like Azeroth is the soul of this Titan, and Alnhara is the body of this Titan. And with Alnhara missing from the cradle, we're actually going to go to Northrend to find the body of Azeroth.
I see. Okay. I thought Azeroth isn't born yet. That's what I had. So I understood it.
It's like, it's not born yet. It's like inside of the core of the planet, essentially.
Okay.
But it still has a body and it still has a soul. And
yeah,
I don't know. I've seen some theories kicked around. I thought that was really interesting, but we know that we're going to Northrend because the body has been transported there, or something involving Azeroth has been transported to Northrend.
Interesting. I've never been this invested in the lore ever. I'm so excited to see what's gonna happen. I guess we'll find out more next week, or when like Heroic Raid launches, there's gonna be more info. And then I also feel like maybe she's just trying to distract us with this from something even crazier.
Yeah.
With this big, massive attack. And then she doesn't really care. Because if she really would have wanted to take Silvermoon, let's be real. She owns the power of Dementius right now. She has his entire essence in a Pokeball. If she wanted to, couldn't she just have done it?
Absolutely. Quicker? Me putting theory hat on. I think she's... Maybe I could be stupid in this. I think she wants to not only snuff out the light, but also snuff out the void. Like, I think she's just trying to figure out a way to, like, net neutral, just destroy it all. And the only way to do that is to cause conflict between the two. And so the best way to do that, let's attack the sun well, like this, the giant pillar of light. And now that we've started this huge conflict, I'm sure she's got other nefarious purposes. But I've also seen some really interesting stuff around, okay, so you know, like when Erator got really, really mad and the light comes down, and it burns, it like literally turns things to ash.
Oh, good.
And then in the cinematic for Zalatath's origin story, we see everything is ash. So there's like that theory, I don't know, maybe Voidstorm explains this a bit more, I don't know, where like her people must have prayed to the light And
that's a Latina theory, and it makes sense to me.
Yeah, and then it caused war or something, and it burnt out the whole planet, and so that's when she turned to the void, and became like its warrior champion. I like to think that she's just a fierce diva who's looking for her lesbian crush, and she just wants someone to suck on them toes. And, you know, it's hard out here because most of these World of Warcraft girlies are walking around with no shoes on, with their toes poking out of their boots, and they got some nasty feet. So Xalatath is having a really hard time finding anyone that can match her freak in Azeroth.
Quick question. Did you make your hair in here?
I haven't yet. I just unlocked them right before this.
You can pick if you want toenails or not.
Give the me toenails. That for undead.
Are disgusting. They are so gross. They're the grossest thing you've ever seen.
And you guess what? And let me say something disgusting about this is almost every Haranir I have met has toenails out. Like from player made Haraniers. Because I've been looking down and I'm like, what? Your toenails are exposed when you're a Haranir? That's crazy.
And they have one in the back too. Like in the back of the ban all of them.
Yeah, it's like weird. I wish we had that option for undead as well. I hate that my little bony toes come out of every single shoe. Like, why? But then it doesn't make any sense because there are certain shoes, newer shoes they've come out with that hide your toes.
Oh, nice.
So I don't, it's just like up to the shoe, I guess.
Please hide your toes. I don't want to see your undead crusty toes.
Azeroth with Attitude would like to let you know, please hide your toes. We don't want to see them. Sorry. PSA done.
Yes, I agree.
Okay. So with a little bit of time that we have left, I'm curious. We've talked about Eversong Woods. We've talked about Silvergoon. How do you feel now that you've played through Midnight with the class changes and like other like UI changes they've made? Do you think it works?
Yes. 100%. Yeah. I am convinced. I am sold. I am addicted. I don't want to stop playing. It's all I think about. I go to bed, I think about it. I wake up, I think about it. I am at work and I feel like I'm in prison waiting to play Midnight. Yes, I may have addiction, but I'm obsessed with this game. It is so good. I love how my class feels. It doesn't feel overpruned as of now. I'm also now leveling my Resto Druid, which is the second character I'm leveling, a Haranir Druid. He is so sexy. He's so beautiful.
Girl, did you give him that fuck ass mustache that all these homos are giving the Haranir?
I was first. Okay, I'm gonna just say it. I was first. I remember reacting to them and I made him with a mustache and I gave him that hair and the red eyes. And then everybody was like, ha 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 ha, oh my god, he looks so good. And all of a sudden I see all of them doing it.
I know five homosexuals that are rocking the mustache Haranir.
I did it first.
You said, bitch, it looks like me.
And he's so hot. Like, so the transmog is buggy with them. So you can see ass cheek, full on ass cheek with the new mage weave armor. You put it on, you see full on hair on your ass cheek. Unfortunately, zero bulge. They are tucked boots. All of a sudden, you see ass. And I'm like, I've never seen that before in World of Warcraft. It's wild. Especially on male characters. It's always the slut mog has always been a thing for female, but I've never seen this before. So he's running around with his literal a third of each butt cheek out.
And that's
throwing on some like rejuves, and I love it.
And that is going to save Silvermoon if I've ever fucking seen it before.
Period. Silvergoon is about to goon out so hard the light will.
The light is gonna clap, okay? She's gonna clap those cheeks.
Yeah, absolutely.
Never mind. I was gonna ask a stupid question.
What was the question again? Actually, you asked if I liked Midnight.
Oh yeah. That's right. If you liked Midnight with the UI changes and the class changes,
okay. I love everything about it. What about you?
I do too. I think it's great. I do want to play more classes to see if the pruning has affected how they play. But I mean, for Frost Mage, I will say this. I want to feel excited to play a fire and arcane. I just can't because Frost Mage is so fucking powerful right now. You are an idiot if you are not playing the Frost Mage spec right now. You are melting mobs.
Hello to all the mages. Hello to them right now that they're all
stupid for not playing Frostmage.
If you're playing Fire Mage or Arcane Mage, you are a dumb slut. And I heard that the other Blood Elves were talking shit behind your back in Murder Row. Because guess what, girl? You're popular. But you're not popular because you know how to play the game. You're popular because your phone number is on the bathroom stalls in Murder Row. Just put that in your pipe and smoke it, diva. Okay? How about you switch to Frostmage, the real spec? You sloppy little bottom.
You know, whenever I think you're going to say like one sentence, you lean into it so hard that I'm like forgetting where we are. What is going on with you? What is wrong? Actually, I love everything that is wrong with you, but what the fuck is wrong with you?
There's a lot wrong with me. Can you imagine? I bet you the bathroom stalls are fierce.
Because your number is on the bathroom.
I think the changes that we've gotten in Midnight are really good. And I do like where they're going with the story. I love Erator. I was genuinely gagged when Tyrallian attacked his son. I thought for a minute they were going to kill Erator, which I thought would have been gaggy.
It would have been crazy.
Yeah. I was like, imagine setting up this character and getting a real consequence death here where he kills his son. Mm-hmm. Like, I was like, ooh.
That would have been some Game of Thrones shit. Like, that would have been wild. But I do want him to do that. You know how they say that we're going to lose someone we really care about? Someone we're all really attached to?
Yeah.
Now that you've seen this, who do you think it's going to be?
Well, I haven't finished it. Like, I haven't finished, obviously, the full game. I could see...
I feel like you could already... Knowing what happens in Voidstorm, I think you can already make a pretty good assumption.
I think Illyria's going to die. I think we're going to lose Illyria. I think she's going to sacrifice herself to some greater purpose. And I think it's going to empower... Honestly, I wouldn't be shocked if we lost Tyrallian and Illyria at the same time. Like,
don't gaff about Tyrallian. Go rot.
Because I could see them narratively trying to put like these two pioneers of the void in the light, and they both have to make major sacrifices. And maybe Erator carries on both of their legacies. Because I could see a move where Erator also maybe dabbles in the void a little bit now that he has learned the light is a little bit more zealot than he thought. He's already showcased he's much more accepting of the void than any other paladin that we've seen in...
Oh, yeah, for sure,
On Azeroth. I also think we could be losing... I really don't want to say it. I really hope we don't lose Lorthamar, but...
I don't think so anymore.
Okay, you don't think so? Okay, good.
I feel like I can always kind of clock storytelling when they make you really feel for a character before they... And Voidstorm...
You can spoil a little bit. It's fine.
But Illyria is in Voidstorm.
Oh, Valyria.
Illyria. Illyria. The mother of Erator. She's already at the Voidstorm. She follows Zalatav after the defeat of Demencius. She's already there trying to clock her gag, find her, everything.
Yeah.
And she is all of a sudden a little softer. And the as much as the relationship between Tyrallian and Erator is like, you want to punch him and Illyria, it's like, you just want to protect them. You just want to treasure them and protect them. And now that you said that, it would make so much sense. And it will break me if we lose her.
Yeah,
I found so much love for her after Voidstorm.
Yeah, I definitely think we're going to lose her. I think it just makes sense because if you have a three-part trilogy, it would make sense that there has to be some dire consequences for the finale of the trilogy. So I wouldn't be shocked. And or I don't think they would do this. I could see us losing Erator and maybe... him making a sacrifice in the name of both the light and the void softens Tyrallian and Illyria to be less like staunch in their beliefs on both sides of the fence. I don't think they would do that because they really think they're setting up Erator. I think they're really starting to try and set up this next generation of people who will maybe take on and carry the torch post World Soul Saga. I mean, shit, we're not even getting Jaina anymore or Thrall or any other major characters. We're really getting a lot of these.
It scares me a little. I don't know.
Honestly, I don't think we're going to see it. I would be pissed at this point if Jaina or Thrall or any major characters show up in a third part of this trilogy just to die. Because they haven't been there for part one or two.
That would be so pointless.
Yeah.
It needs to be a build-up. It needs to... But honestly, if they do the story the way they're doing it right now, I'm not worried. I'm not worried.
Yeah, I'm not worried either.
But you've played for Zul'jaman.
Yeah, I loved it.
And at the end, I saw you were streaming him when you did that. At the end, you go to the brother and you talk to him again, and you can tell he's not happy. Mm-hmm. He's cooking something up, and you can literally already see another zone, right? You can see another zone if you cross the river, mm-hmm. and when you fly in there, it teleports you out. So there's a zone there, and I think that patch number two is going to be Zul'jaman. And we're going to finish up the story there.
Yeah.
And I think that's also where we might get them as an allied race. Even though, as much as I love... Okay, but I guess we're talking about that next episode. But I can see that that's where we're going to go next. But I hope that we still continue the actual main story and not get into side character territory like we did with Undermine and stuff.
I really want us
to keep the trajectory like this, you know? Like, give us more story, please. Otherwise, we just get detached again. And then when we pick it up again, we're not even going to remember what happened. And it's like, let's keep this trajectory, please. That's the only thing I'm hoping for.
And now we're announcing patch 3, where we are going to be announcing the ugly sea undersea goblins. And we're going to do an entire expansion covering their lore, their civilization, and why their cunty house down boots. They may smell like sardines, but mama, the only salt they're bringing is to the battlefield. And it's like, what?
Downloading Final Fantasy 14 right now. Downloading it right the fuck now. Oops.
But that's what it felt like when we fucking got Undermine. It's like, what do you mean? We just got covering this, like, amazing story around the Naga, and you're gonna tell me we're focusing on fucking mecha gnomes?
No shade, but what the hell was that?
Yeah, so I don't know what we're gonna get with
and I was protective of it, to be honest, but now that I've played Midnight, I'm like, y'all had all of that potential.
Baladash Malinore. Okay, but wait, let's talk about that. What if
that's our new intro? Baladash Malinore.
Baladash Malinore. With attitude.
Did you hear that like, really gay one? Baladash Malinore.
No, okay, wait. I know
his
like
whole is twitching. It's winking at me. No, you did not just do that.
Okay, anyway,
I need to leave though.
Hi, World of Warcraft, how you doing? Thank you for listening. So I have a bone to pick with Silver Goon specifically. Why the fuck is every male NPC voiced by the same fucking twink?
Besides that one really deep one, but I'm like...
One really deep one, but everyone else is like, Baladash Malinore. It's like,
Baladash Malinore.
And it's like the
I'm like,
gruff...
I'm Calibris.
Literally, it's gruff, like, bearded, masculine-ass, like, blood elf. But then when they open their mouth, the purse comes out.
If you hear it falling. By several of them.
Yeah. And then I'm sitting there, like, in the fantasy, and I'm like... Diva, oh my god, they got homos in Murder Row. It'll be like the shadiest looking.
The whole Silver Goon smells like cum.
No, truly though, you'll like be walking through Murder Row and you'll see the shadiest looking blood elves, and they open their mouth and it's like they're like walking up to you, daggers in hand, like they're about to backstab you, and then all of a sudden they're like, hey, diva bitch, what's up, you fucking slut? They're like, Baladash Malinore, these nuts, mama.
Oh my god, y'all gag me for years. Like, yeah, me, basically me.
You. You are in Murder Row.
Yeah, I am.
No, but you'll understand this for sure when you start doing all the Silver Moon side quests. I've gotten through like more than half of them, and it is starting to annoy me how much that twink shows up for almost every blood elf you run into. Yeah, it's not even like,
wait,
it's not even peaks and valleys or pitches. It's the same fucking voice.
Yeah. I mean, you know, some more because you have voice acting experience, but I can't wait for you to meet the prey guy.
Oh my God.
It's literally like, champion, I need you to do this for me and go to Zul.
Yeah. But see, I need
you to go to Zulaman and murder her, make her feel my anguish. It's like literally like that. And I'm just like, what?
No, literally. Ooh, though, okay. I need that.
I need to know who that is. Who is that voice actor? Call me up.
It's like dial in, girl. We'll call. I need the same dialogue, but in that voice. I needed them to be like,
Belladash Melanore, diva.
Oh my God, that just shook me.
Bussy quake.
Oh wait, do it again.
Okay.
Belladash Melanore, hello, diva. How are you doing, House Down Boots, mother? The Blood Elves are here. Are you a good boy?
Oh, no, stop it. Stop it. What the hell? That was so good.
Thank you. No,
that
I need...
That was so good.
I need a Blood Elf.
Let me do mine.
Yeah.
This is my take.
Okay.
Hey, Diva. What's going on?
Okay, but
that
like...
That was my take on a deep voice.
But that's what I need. That's what I need. I need like...
You've been a good boy.
And I just need someone to say that and then be like, oh, or
you're such a good girl.
Like, you know what I mean? But I'm like leveling up,
this is
like
insane.
Dressed like a little cunty, you know, mage. I need it anyway. Okay, wait, let me figure out. We have a new announcement, y'all. We are, do you want to, oh, should we, the why am I blanking? Oh. Fan mail.
Oh.
Okay, yeah. So going forward, we would love to start answering some of your listener questions. And they don't have to be about World of Warcraft. They can be about literally anything.
Yes.
If you...
Yeah. Maybe not like, you know.
Yeah. Like, be considerate. Like, let's not be nasty. But
yeah,
it is a podcast after all. We are clean.
I will ignore it.
Yeah.
Of course. Like, we have decorum.
We have decorum here.
So keep it clean.
Be a good boy.
No, I'm kidding. So what I would love is whenever you send us an email, and the email is azeroth@gmail.com. So if you send us an email, make sure to include at least your first name. And I would love to know like where you're from. And also, it would be great to know, like at the end of your emails, put what race class you play and maybe the name of your character. I'm gonna give them a little shout out.
Yeah. But also, you can also just comment under YouTube and include the word question in it so we can find it. And so, in case you like, you want to do the whole email thing, I also think a comment is fine. But yes, I would love to know your class and your main and your name and like your question. I think that's really cool because then it can be like the warlock called Pussy Boots wants to know, Dylan,
how what spec of Goonmonk would you pick?
What's wrong with you?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that too. No, very that there. Like, I need that. I need that so fiercely. Yeah. So we won't answer every single question every episode. We'll pepper them throughout the episode. So
yeah,
fill our inbox, fill our comment section with as many comments or questions, or even just like, how do you feel about Midnight or that?
I'm just kidding. Please do not do that.
Girl, this is so stupid. I have been loving Midnight. I'm glad that you're enjoying Midnight. If you are new here, make sure to subscribe. We are almost, I believe, to... let me check.
500?
Yeah, I think we're almost 500 subscribers. No, we're 504. We passed 500 subscribers.
Period.
For our 10th episode of Azeroth with Attitude. We've reached 500 subs. Let's get to 1,000 and then we can start monetizing. Yes. But make sure to hit that subscribe button.
Then we can pay wallet. Haha, I'm joking.
We would never.
Never.
No. No, make sure to hit that subscribe button. And also, if you are listening, whether on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or Amazon Music, leave us a 5-star review. It helps us out tremendously. It helps push us.
Please.
I think we're at like 26 5-star reviews on Spotify, which is amazing. Yeah. Also, the Spotify views have been great. I shout out to you girls on Spotify that are listening to us audio only.
Yeah,
we love that.
A lot of the people in my community do it, and they always send, which is so funny to me, they will always send screenshots because our everything we say is being tracked and like shown as like, yes, like lyrics, and then it will be like, that tree deserved to burn. Someone screenshots it and sends it, and it's like, guys, this was crazy. And I'm like, okay, Eva said that, but it's so, it looks so dramatic. That world tree deserved to burn, like just that, no context. And it's so funny. It's no, so funny.
It is hilarious. Yeah. Yeah, so hit us up, support us. Since this is our 10th episode, let's reintroduce ourselves a little bit. Where can they find you?
You can find me under, I've changed my name, so it's no more Artemirs. It's no more Artemurs or whatever you Americans like to call.
Yeah,
it is Artemir Gaming. So Artemir Gaming without the S, without underscores. It's all big, one big word. Artemir Gaming on Twitch, Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, and YouTube.
Yeah. And I am 8-Bit Dylan. That is the number 8-BITDYLAN across all social media platforms. This has been Azeroth with Attitude, and we will see you all next week with yet another episode.
Bye, flops.
Bye, flops.